At this time of year, it is often customary for families or individuals to send out updates from what happened in the past year, often through a letter or through a Christmas card. And based on where people are in their life's journey, this news can include things like the emerging personalities of toddling children, or the milestones of family members, of graduations and weddings, perhaps tales of vacations or of retirement. Certainly, this time is a time of family, of giving thanks for the gift of the people God has put in our lives. As a church, on this Sunday, the Sunday and the octave of Christmas, we celebrate the feast day, as we do every year, of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Now, coming as a priest to preach on this feast day can be one of trepidation, because priests are very well aware that on feast days, such things such as the Holy Family, or even days like Mother's Day or Father's Day, there's a possibility and the risk that some people may feel excluded or ostracized. Why? Well, because some people, frankly, may not see themselves as part of a family, may not see that they're married, they may be divorced or widowed. People may experience loneliness. And even for those people who are in a family setting, they may look at the Holy Family, look at those picturesque, maybe even saccharine images of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and say, I'm not sure how I can relate to that. My wife or my mom was neither immaculately conceived nor sinless. My dad or my father did not benefit from receiving dreams of angels to tell them what to do. And my children and my siblings definitely are not the incarnate Son of God. But yet, I propose that for this Sunday and in this homily, I would like to reflect with you on something that I think is universally applicable to all Christian believers, regardless of your state in life, and that is the concept of discernment. And I would propose that in our gospel reading today, Saint Joseph provides a master class in discernment, and the Holy Family is his classroom. But before we get to what Saint Joseph shows us, perhaps it is important to understand first what is discernment and why is it applicable to everyone. Some people may think that discernment is simply for those young people who are trying to figure out their state in life, whether God is calling them to marriage or the priesthood or consecrated religious life or to some unique generous vocation as a single person. But discernment, simply put, is this: asking God the question, Lord, how are you calling me to give myself away in love? God, how are you calling me to give myself away in love? The fundamental category here is not so much activity or skill, but rather relationship. Truly, being made in God's image and likeness, we were made by love and for love. And we find our fullness of life insofar as we are able to give ourselves away in love. For those people discerning their state in life, they are trying to uncover whether God has given them a heart that is configured to give themselves away as a spouse, as a parent, or maybe as someone called to celibacy, as a priest or consecrated religious. And even once we have found our state in life, or maybe even experienced a situation in which we are after a certain state of life, whether through separation or death of a partner, we may continue to ask God, how are you in the concreteness of my daily life asking me to give myself away in love? Discernment is something applicable to everyone. And furthermore, since it is about relationship, we can look to families as the first and foundational school of relationship. In fact, we are thrown into these relationships without our choice, in a sense, especially for those born into a family, right? And with these relationships, We learn to love. We learn to give ourselves away in love. And therefore, families are essential schools of discernment. And we can look to the Holy Family as a school of discernment par excellence. So what does Saint Joseph provide for us? It is interesting that in the Gospels, Saint Joseph doesn't utter a word. There is no line associated with Saint Joseph. He just acts. He shows. So what does he show us? I would like to identify three principles of discernment that Saint Joseph lives out and models for us in the context of his care for the Holy Family as husband of Mary and foster father of Jesus. The first principle is the importance of trust. Listen to these words from the angel. Rise and take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Okay, clear enough. But then the angel says this, and stay there until I tell you. Stay there until I tell you. There is an open-endedness to trust and confidence in God. For Saint Joseph, when he heard this message, he did not know whether this move to Egypt would be for a few days, a few weeks, months, or years. It was open-ended. And it is simply told, stay there until I tell you. For us, in our relationship with God, and within that, our discernment of his will, trust is of utmost importance. Without it, we will constantly be clinging to control, trying to take things back from God and insist on our way. Saint Joseph didn't ask for clarifications on what is the end state supposed to look like? What are the contingencies I'm supposed to plan for? How will I know that you will support me in this? He simply trusted. Perhaps one of the greatest obstacles to trust is the fear of vulnerability, the fear of being hurt, and that is why we cling to control. The antidote to this is confidence in God's providence, to know that God has and will continue to provide for us and lead us in the paths of the good, even if for a time we may encounter hardship. The family presents us a unique arena of vulnerability and a testing ground for confidence. I think especially of the radical commitment of husband and wife that they make on their wedding day to choose each other as spouses for better, for worse, for richer, or poorer, in sickness and health, until death do they part. And thinking about this open-ended trust of Saint Joseph, I was compelled to think about an experience of my own family. This month of December marks the 10th anniversary of my mother's diagnosis of cancer. And I remember very vividly being up at Sacred Heart Medical Center with my mom and my dad, with the oncologist, as our doctor presented the grim news. And there was a sense of that open-endedness. We did not know what was to take place, but we had the confidence to say that we will stay here until you tell us, God. We will stay in this fight until you say enough is enough. We knew that would be chemotherapy and radiation and surgery, but we did not know whether or not we, in a few years, we'll be working with hospice and funeral directors and mourning. And for my dad, it was clear that he was wrestling with this and leaning on the Lord. For me, in my first year of seminary, I was confronting the possibility that my mother may not be with me on my ordination day. If you know my family, you know the end of the story, that praise be to God, through something perhaps not short of miraculous, she was able to recover and beat back this cancer. But I know that in other families, the story did not end that way. And yet, there is an open-ended trust, a confidence that even through hardship and illness and tragedy, God will see us through. Another area in which the family teaches us this open-ended trust and this ability to be vulnerable comes in the fact of children. When a family sees that positive pregnancy test or beholds that kidney being of a human person in that grainy ultrasound, these parents may be considering the potential lifetime of relationship they may have with this child to raise them up for in their childhood and teen years, to launch them off into adulthood, to see perhaps grandchildren as well. And yet there is a sense that God says to these parents, stay here and be a parent to this child until I tell you. That is, until I call you home to heaven, or I call this child. And that is an open-ended source of vulnerability. And I simply want to note, and maybe this may be tangential for some people, that, but in this past year, I have had, in some ways, the sacred privilege to work with many families that have suffered from miscarriage, who experienced that initial joy, but then to have that life taken back by God in an unexpected and tragic way. There is an open-endedness to trust, to lovingly accept children from God for the time they are given to us. And I simply want to acknowledge that for those people who may suffer this grief silently, that your grief is acknowledged, and it is our Lord comes to you with his peace. In all this, the family can serve as a way for us to learn to exercise trust in God, in his confidence, regardless of the hardships that he will see us through. The second principle that St. Joseph lays out is that of decisive action. In our gospel reading, St. Matthew writes, Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Joseph knew the importance of acting with swiftness when the time demanded it. In other words, for us, we must learn that in our discernment, we must be able to close certain doors in order to pass through the one. Oftentimes, when I work with young people, and other priests comment about this as well, is that the contemporary approach to discernment is one of excessive introspection and angst and hand-wringing, of second-guessing oneself and not being able to make a decision, waiting and longing for more data or confirmation in order to take a first step. But St. Joseph shows us that we are to take decisive actions. Sometimes when I meet with young people, I just tell them, do something. Be willing to make a mess of it and bring that back to God and see what happens. Whether it be in choosing to date or go to seminary or go for that job opportunity rather than the other one, there are certain doors that must be left behind in order to move forward. But it is precisely in moving forward that we are able to actively and actually participate in God's will and unlock what he has in store for us. The third principle that St. Joseph models for us is the importance and validity of prudence. Sometimes people think that with discernment, we have to completely shut off our mind and our reason and blindly follow these intuitions that we somehow magically receive from God. Look at this. On the return home from Egypt, Joseph heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go back there, and because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. Joseph, even though he had a radical trust in God, did not act rashly. He used prudence, perception, to perceive potential danger and thus to avoid it. And it's interesting to see how Joseph proceeds thinking he's following God's will, going back to Bethlehem, just where they were called out of, but then looking around, seeing the danger, and then waiting and looking to God for some more support. He receives this confirmation in a dream and moves elsewhere. Granted, we may not have the benefit of receiving dreams, but in our prudence and prayerful conversation with God, we can practice this important principle of our discernment. Also, we can think that when Joseph went to Egypt, he was not there helplessly, but using his own human skills and resources and ingenuity, sought to provide for his family. Likewise for us, when we seek to go about doing God's will, we are able to move forward on a foundation of trust, taking bold actions and confident in God's providence, all the while being able to evaluate things with our reason and our prudence. These principles of discernment, I believe, are applicable to all of us, regardless of our state in life. And I would encourage you to seek the intercession and the support of the Holy Family, to look at your life in 2020 with a lens of discernment. And so perhaps when we come to the conclusion of next year and we sit down to write out our family or household update for our friends and family, we will not only be able to share the highlights of our life, but also witness to the story of God's will in our lives, a story that we were able to access because we trusted and practiced discernment of God's will.